back in chapter 11. We're back with Jesus again as he comes to Bethany, talks to Martha and Mary after the death of Lazarus. And we have talked a little bit about, as we did last week, the Lord Jesus Christ did nothing that did not bring glory to God. He said, "What I do brings glory to God. Everything I do brings glory to God." So what he's going to do here at the tomb of Lazarus is to bring glory to God. That's the key. That's the point of everything that he's trying to get across. He, as God's Son, will bring glory to the Father. He will do what the Father says. He will say what the Father says. He will literally represent the Father completely and totally. And in the process, bring glory to the Father. Now, we can extend that to the extent of saying that when he works through his children, you and I, when he seeks to work through our lives, just like he did Lazarus and Martha and Mary, his purpose is one and the same. He wants to bring glory to God through your life in whatever is involved, whatever is going on. Sometimes we have to go through difficult times and hard times, even painful things, in order to understand and see how God will bring glory to himself through it. And I'm reminded of a story about David, a little two-year-old. He had leukemia. And he was taken by his mother, Deborah, to Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. And he went to see Dr. John Truman, who specialized in treating children with cancer and various blood diseases. And Dr. Truman's prognosis was devastating. He has a 50-50 chance. And the countless clinic visits, the blood tests, the intravenous drugs, the fear, the pain, the mother's ordeal can be almost as bad as the children's, because she must stand by unable to bear the and watch her child bear the pain. David never cried in the waiting room, and although his friends in the clinic had to hurt him and stick him needles, he hustled in ahead of his mother with a smile, sure of the welcome he always got. I don't know if we could do that. And here's a little two-year-old. When he was three, David had to have a spinal tap. That's a very painful procedure at any age. I know that because I've had it. And someday I'll tell you the story about that, how myself and two other nurses ended up on the floor when they stuck me with that needle. And they were supposed to hold me down, and they didn't. When I went off the table, they went off the table. It's a very painful thing. And it was explained to him that because he was sick, Dr. Truman had to do something to make him better. And if it hurts, remember, it's because he loves you. I want to say that again. If it hurts, remember, it's because he loves you. Deborah said to her son, "The procedure was horrendous. It took three nurses to hold David still while he yelled and sobbed and struggled. And when it was almost over, the tiny boy, soaked in sweat and tears, looked up at the doctor and gasped, 'Thank you, Dr. Tompkin, Truman, for my hurting. Thank you, Dr. Truman, for my hurting.'" When's the last time you asked God to be with you through some hurting and then at the end said, "Thank you, Father, for the hurting, because I know it's because you love me. I know it's because you care and you're trying to heal me." The passage we want to look at today is in John 11, verses 17 to 22. This is again Christ, the resurrection and the life. When Jesus came, he found that Lazarus, had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. And Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into this world." The message here, if I can put just a few words to the title, is this: death does not end at all. Death does not end at all. As we look at Martha's words here, it seems to be that she's saying, "I'm not going to limit you, Lord. I'm not going to put limits on you as to what you can do. But don't you think you've come a little late? He's already been in the grave 4 days." Later on, she says, "Leave the stone alone. Don't roll a stone away. It doesn't smell very good in there." You see, he's in corruption. 4 days in the grave. Yet there was a longing in Martha's heart. Maybe I should even call it a hope in her heart, that Jesus could even yet do something. But in her mind was ringing these words, and on her lips, "Lord, if you'd only come, my brother wouldn't have died." Now we need to know that even if the Lord had left when he first received the message, and he had walked up the hill for the 2 or 3 days to the city of Jerusalem, he would have been too late. He would have had to walk from 900 feet below sea level, up to and through those canyons, and through the caves and the desert roads, approximately 3,000 feet above sea level, to get to Bethany, to where he would see Lazarus and the sisters. He would have simply been too late. And he knew that. Now listen, I want to say this to you and to myself this morning, because I say it to myself all the time. And I want to say it to you. When you face something in your life that from your perspective you want corrected by God, or something that you want prevented by God, and it seems that the Lord comes to that issue or to that event too late, what should be your focus? What should you do here? Are you going to be with Martha feeling like, "Well, now it's gone too far"? I mean, it's one thing if you'd have been here the day he died and raised him up again immediately and there'd been no corruption. Now, that seems more easy. Or even if you had kept him from dying, that would have been even better. But now, 4 days, it's gone too far. And sometimes you look at those events in your life and you say, "It's gone too far." And then you have the same doubts that Martha had. Maybe it's gone so far that Jesus can't do anything anymore. I can't tell you how many times I've had people come into my office and sit in front of me with tears in their eyes and say to me, I guess I need to ask for prayer for this person or that person, maybe my husband or my wife or my situation, whatever it is. But you know, I can't pray anymore because I don't know, I just think it's gone too far. I think now maybe it's beyond even what God can do. I had one lady tell me one time about her husband. She says, I think he's gone so far that the Lord will never care about him anymore. And then I asked her, well, do you continue to pray for him? She says, no. She says, I think it's gone too far. We cannot make that judgment. I'm going to say it again. We cannot make that judgment. God can do anything. He can do anything at any time, whether it's now, tomorrow, 10 days later, a year later, a rest of your life later. Does not stop him from doing what he chooses to do in your life to glorify God. Don't ever give up on him, because he never gives up on you. He never gives up on you. Now, here's the thing. If Jesus had been there, he could have stopped Lazarus from dying, really. Or at least he could have been there before the body had gone into corruption, as we had talked about here. And maybe something could still be done. But now, 4 days later, you know, it's gone too far. Maybe Jesus can't do anything anymore. And there are people in life that I run into all the time who say, well, God doesn't care about me anymore. He can't do anything in my life anymore. I've just gone too far. I've been too bad. I've got too many things. I want to tell you something. It's never too late. It's never too late. And when Jesus comes to visit you and talk to you about your life and the issue, the time is absolutely right and perfect. It's never too late. Never. It is precisely at that moment that we need to listen to what Jesus will say. Here, we want to listen to what he says to Martha, because Martha needs some instruction here. She needs some help here. And what Jesus is going to say is going to help her understand that he is now or later or at any time still the God of the living and the dead. You see, it doesn't matter. Time doesn't matter. So what is Martha's problem here? Well, she was failing in her faith here because of the death of her brother. Now listen to what Jesus says to her. Very simply, he says, your brother will rise again. Now Martha was a good Jewish woman. She knew the law. She did. She understood it. She knew what the Bible said about resurrection. And I'm talking about the Old Testament because they didn't have the New Testament. What is said about resurrection? Martha said to him, I know, he'll rise again in the resurrection in the last day. She had that all down. That was not the question. The question was, now. I'm hurting now. My brother is gone now. I know I'll see him again one day. I know that one day he'll rise from the dead. But now, what about now? What about now, Lord? That was the cry of her heart. She remembered the words in Job, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God. She knew that. And she knew what Daniel said. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. She understood that. And Isaiah, his words, your dead shall live, their corpses will rise. You shall lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy, For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed saints. She understood all of that, and she come back at him and said, I know that he's going to be raised in the last day. But she had that part of her that you and I have that says, but I want something now. Now, Lord, I could have had it now. If you'd have just been here, it could have been now and not then. And sometimes we look at our circumstances and we say, Lord, if you'd just moved back here, then I wouldn't be where I am today. I could have had it then, but now here we are. And it just seems like it's gone too far. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, yes, Lord. I know that he will be raised in the resurrection in the last day. Now, I want to ask that question again that I asked earlier. What is Martha's problem here? Well, it is that she wanted, listen carefully now, she wanted her brother to be delivered from death. That was what she wanted. Jesus wanted Lazarus to be triumphant over death. Big difference. Big difference. Which one will bring most of the glory to God? Which one will show the truth that death is powerless in the sight of God? Which one will give God the most honor and glory if he just stops the process of the disease? Oh, that sounds good. But coming out of the tomb after 4 days? That's magnificent. Marvelous. And nobody can get the glory. You know, if he'd have saved, let's say he'd gone back and he got there in time and he said something like, Lazarus, I want you to be whole, get rid of this disease, whatever. And within a few days, he's well and he's fine and he's fine. And there would be a critic will come along and say, hey, he was going to get well anyway. You just didn't give him enough time. I don't believe Jesus had any power to do anything. He just got well anyway. And so the critics would be there. He had a lot of them. But coming out of the grave, after 4 days, wrapped in the clothes, the death clothes, and being set free, there is no critic that can come along and say, well, I don't think he was dead. This had to be accepted, where the other one didn't have to be. Jesus wanted to bring him out of the grave triumphant over death, just as he would be in the days to come. But she had a smaller vision. Just stop the disease. May I say that we don't have big enough visions? We want to make it small. We want to make it now. We want to make it the way we want it. And we just can't wait for God to do something bigger. We need it now instead. Oh, if we could just get a hold of this truth and understand it and wait on the Lord for his timing in the things in our life and see that what he's waiting on, he's waiting so that God will get the glory and there'll be no way to criticize it. No way to argue against it. It'll be too powerful. That's what God does. And that's what he was doing here. She wanted him saved from death. Jesus wanted him triumphant over death. Martha doubted and needed instruction. So the Lord gives her a little instruction in verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now listen, I am the resurrection, I am the life. Now here's another one of his I am statements. He's given us a number of them here in John, and this is another one of them, I am. And we need to listen. When he starts saying I am, he is saying I am sufficient for everything. What's your need? What are you struggling with? When's the last time you prayed about it? Or have you given up on it? Think it's gone too far. Now you're just trying to find some kind of a human answer to the problem, which is only going to make the wound worse and more corrupt. And Jesus said, and it's recorded in John 5:21, "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes." Now here's the message. The message is this: the Father has within himself the power to raise the dead and give life to anyone he chooses, at any time he chooses. And Jesus is saying, I have that same power. It has been given to me, the same power. It is not the Father working through me, it is me doing exactly what the power has been given to me to do, because I am God. That's the message. Now, listen, Martha, you believe that your brother will be raised in the last day. Well, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the one who will raise him up in the last day. And if I can raise him up in the last day, then can't I raise him up today? You see? Hadn't thought about that. If I can do it down there, can't I do it here? It's within my power. It's what the Father gave me. And I do it of myself. And if I can do it down there, I can do it today. Now, I want you to look at Martha's response, because Martha misses the issue here, which is probably what we would do. She misses the issue. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I don't know if I understand what you're saying, but yes, I agree with that. You know, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, and he who comes into the world." Wonderful testimony about who Jesus was from her. But she didn't say, "Yes, Lord, I believe you can raise him up today." That was beyond her ability to grasp. And sometimes what God wants to do in your life and mine is beyond our ability at the moment to grasp it. So unless we surrender ourselves to the complete commitment of his will in our life, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. We need to be dedicated. We who are his children need to be dedicated to the will of God to be worked out perfectly in our lives. Every day, every circumstance, every event, every moment where sorrow comes, every moment of pain, and we need to be able to look into his face as that little 2-year-old and say, "Thank you, God, for even this. Because you wouldn't let this touch me if you didn't have a purpose in it." I believe that. Do you? Can you look at your life and everything that's happened to you in the last year and say, "God, I know that you're my Savior, you're my Lord, that you care about me, you have a plan in my life, and everything that has happened in my life has been at your appointment, even though I may have thought I planned it out myself. You are the one that brought it to pass. Now, can I trust you to bring it to completeness? Can I trust you to take it from where it is at the moment, where I may be in pain or sorrow or hurt or whatever, or confusion, and take it to the end, which will give me the joy and the glory of knowing that it all glorified God? And it was him who made it all come to pass." We got to get past the point of trying to run our own lives. We don't do well at it. We got to get past the point of making our own decisions without talking to God and praying and getting input, because we're not good at it. And we keep running into brick walls. We keep running into those things that are obstacles and we have no power to overcome. But if we're looking beyond those things to the will of God and to his work in our lives every day, and that these are his appointments for us, and using them to the fullest extent that He gives them to us, the end result will be God will perform that which He wants to perform, which will bring glory to Him. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want more than anything else. I want that more than anything else. I need that more than I need comfort. I need that more than I need peace. I need that because I need to know that my Savior and I are in sync and that His will in my life is being accomplished, even though sometimes I'm stumbling over myself. I know He's in control. Jesus said, I have the power. I can do it down the road in the last day. I can do it now today. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Death is not the end. It is not the end. Let me tell you something. The end of the natural body, this old thing we carry around with us every day, that we're not too happy with most of the time. We look in the mirror, it doesn't look so good. We feel it when we get up in the mornings. You know, we carry it around because it's a vehicle that God has given us to communicate and to relate to one another in this world. Now, the natural end of this body, because of sin that entered the human race, is death. What we call death. All right? But resurrection is the end of death. So what we're saying is death is a terrible enemy, yes. But death is a defeated enemy. When Jesus came out of that tomb and rose again and then ascended to the right hand of the Father, death's power was broken. I read a poem. I don't know all the details about it and I can't quote it completely, but one of the little phrases in the poem that I read this week was this. Dear one, this is from one who had gone on before us. It said, dear one, nothing has changed. I'm simply in the next room. I love you still as I always did. My name, I want you to use my name just as you always have. Nothing has changed except that I'm in the next room. And I expect that one of these days you'll walk through the door and we'll be together again. And nothing has changed. And I thought, what a wonderful way to look at this. Because many of us have loved ones who are in the other room. Sometimes I sit in my house, and I know Pat's there somewhere. I don't know where. I'm in the living room. She's somewhere in the back bedroom or somewhere around there. She's there. I know she's there. But I don't see her. Can't talk to her. No interaction with her. And I was thinking about that. That is the way it is with my mother. She's in the other room. Can't talk to her right now, but I will. Can't see her right now, but I will. Can't interact with her and laugh with her, but I will. But she's there. She's in the other room. I can talk about her just like she's in the other room. We need to get hold of the understanding that Jesus Christ said. Listen to what He said. I want you to hear it again because it's absolutely vital. And that is this. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. Now, what He's saying is you will never die. And the question is, do you believe it? This body's going to certainly die. And for most of us, it's going to be a good riddance. We want something better. We've been made for something better. In its place, an incorruptible body. Perfect. Wonderful. Someone challenged me one time when I made this statement, and he said, you mean to tell me that you never will never see death? And my answer was, that's correct. You mean you will never die? I wanted to be sure. I said, that's right, I will never die. You see, eternal life is how long? How long?
Forever.
And do you have eternal life?
Amen.
It doesn't die. Now, if he had asked me, well, will your body die? I'll say, oh yeah, that'll go its way. But I will never die. It was interesting, just about 5 days ago, a young man walked up to me in the restaurant, sat down where I was eating breakfast, and said to me this, can you explain to me what the soul is? And of course my heart's just saying, yes, yes, yes. And I started talking to him about who he really is. You are not your body. You possess your body. You know why I know that? Because when you look at your hand, you say, this is my hand. You possess it. It's not you. It's a vehicle that God has given you to express yourself in this world. You look in the you look in the mirror and you look at your eyes and you say, those are my eyes. It's always in the possessive. That's not you. That's going to be set aside for a new model. You, however, are never going to die if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You will live eternally. You will never see death. When death comes to this body, you will pass into the next room with full, real life. Much more real than what you have right now. You see, we leave these bodies, we will experience real life. Our lives today are affected by sorrow, afflictions, disappointments, misunderstandings. We're full of fear. Death comes along as one of the enemies that we have to face. And we're afraid. And the sad part of it is there are a lot of Christians who are afraid to die. And they express it. They're afraid to die. Too many Christians say that. We should yearn for the experience of a perfect, eternal, real life into which we enter, even though it may be through what man calls death. There was a gentleman, a dear man of God, by the name of Dr. Sutcliffe. And he had an illness that took him toward death. Happened to be that he had a bad heart with a lot of complications. And a young preacher by the name of John came to sit with him as he was on his deathbed. And Dr. Sutcliffe took hold of his wrist and was holding on to him. And he looked up at the young preacher and he said, John, I'm so sick. I am so, so sick. And you could look at him. He truly was. His heart was not functioning properly. He was certainly on his way to death. And as he was propped up in his bed and he had the Bible laying in his lap, this man holding on to the wrist of this young pastor. And what happened was all of a sudden his head went down and his eyes closed. And the young pastor, being somewhat inexperienced and not having gone through much of this, looked at him and thought, well, he's gone. But yet he was holding on to his wrist. And so he sat there and he didn't say anything and he didn't do anything because he wasn't sure what was happening. All of a sudden, the man jerked back, and he looked up and he said, John, is that you? And the young pastor said, yes, this is me. And the man said, I'm so disappointed. I'm so disappointed. I was expecting to see Jesus, and I saw you. Well, the young pastor said, I'd have been disappointed too. But the expectation was, I'm coming, Lord. I'm on my way, and when I open my eyes, I'll see my Savior and see His face. Listen. The tragedy is that so many Christians know so little about the real life in Christ, over which death doesn't even cast a shadow. It really doesn't. Death does not end anything except the mortal body. The promise of God is that in its place will be raised an immortal body, an incorruptible body, fit for eternity. And listen, we need to listen to the Lord. Listen to his words. If you are struggling with the impossible, that's what Martha was struggling with. The impossible. He's gone. He's 4 days gone. There's no way. Impossible. If you're struggling with the impossible this morning in your life, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the God of the impossible. Whether he does it down the road 2 days or whether it's today, he is the God of the impossible. Some of you here are going through some of the similar things I am, and that you have issues going on in your life and the doctors don't seem to have any answers. You know, I walk through that process and I keep walking through it and I keep doing what they tell me to do and I just keep doing that. But you know where my trust is? It's not in those doctors finding an answer. I hope that they will and that God will give them an answer. But that's in his time, in his way. So we just keep walking through it. We keep trusting him with it. We keep waiting on him for it. And when his time is right, when he'll get the greatest glory out of the whole thing, he'll do what he's going to do. And not a minute sooner. And not 1 second late. But we have to trust him. We have to believe that when he says, I am, that answers the question. I hope that it answers it for you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we look at Jesus here standing before the tomb and with these two dear ladies, we see ourselves so many times over. And yet, Father, our heart's desire is that we see what Jesus is really trying to say here, get a hold of what it is he is and who he is to us and each one of us, and how death has no claim on us anymore. No claim whatsoever. It'll take this body, but it'll never take me. And Father, you made that possible because of Christ, your Son. And I pray this morning that those who are here know that same truth. Father, I pray that this message, if it's falling on ears where there's been a rejection of or just inaction upon making Christ Savior and Lord in their life, that someone will hear it for the first time for what it really is, and will find salvation and eternal life because of it, because of Jesus. We pray this, and we give the glory to God, because, Father, it belongs to you, no one else. In Jesus' name, amen.